For scripture this morning, I'm going to be reading from Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 19 to 28. And I'll be reading this from the New Revised Standard Version. This is Moses talking to the children of Israel. "Then, just as the Lord our God had ordered us, we set out from Horeb and went through all that great and terrible wilderness that you saw, on the way to the hill country of the Amorites until we reached Kadesh Barnea. I said to you, 'You have reached the hill country of the Amorites, which the Lord our God is giving us. See, the Lord your God has given the land to you. Go up and take possession, as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, has promised you. Don't fear or be dismayed. All of you came to me and said, "Let's send men ahead of us to explore the land for us and bring back a report to us regarding the route by which we should go up and the cities we will come to." The plan seemed good to me, and I selected 12 of you, one from each tribe. They set out and went up into the hill country, and when they reached the valley of Eshcol, they spied it out and gathered some of the land's produce, which they brought back to us. They brought back a report to us and said, "It is a good land that the Lord our God is giving us. But you were unwilling to go up. You rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. You grumbled in your tents and said, 'It's because the Lord hates us that he has brought us up out of the land of Egypt to hand us over to the Amorites to destroy us.' Where are we headed? Our kindred have made our hearts melt by reporting. The people are stronger and taller than we. The cities are large and fortified up to heaven. We actually saw where the offspring of the Anakim. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we thank you for this privilege of listening to your word through Rhonda, and we just pray that your spirit will guide her as she brings the message. Open our hearts, open our ears, open our minds to hear what you have for us. We thank you. Amen.
Good morning. Or as the Nepalese would say, Jamesi. That's how I have to greet them at their church. Jamesi means good morning, God bless you. I was sitting there thinking that the fact that I'm here tells you something about the wonderful sister that I have, actually. I know you all know that. I've been preaching to her ever since we were little. And she still invited me to come today. Isn't that amazing? We used to play church, and I was always preaching, and she was always the listener. And it has continued on for a long time. So anyway, she's amazing. I love her. I love my sister. And yeah, she continued to love me in spite of all my preaching to her. Hopefully it was not at her. Anyway, I want you to look at, we're going to talk about seeing this morning. She said you've been talking about seeing what God's doing. And so we're going to be talking together about seeing, and I want, like Todd, to put a picture up there, and I want to ask you, what do you see? Okay? Some of you said two ladies immediately. You saw two ladies. Did everybody see the two ladies immediately? Do all of you see the two ladies yet? No. Someone's honest. Which lady do you see? Okay. Some of you see the young girl with the bonnet. Looking away, looking that way. And you see the old lady looking this way. The ear of the young lady is the eye of the old lady. Do you see that? Yeah. But you have to, I can see both of them, but I have to change my perspective. I have to change the way I look. Sometimes I have to blink my eyes and think a little bit. Okay, which way am I seeing now? And so I want, you can take that down, because I don't want them to spend the whole morning trying to figure out what they see up there. You can find us online if you want to look at it some more and figure it out. But I want us to think this morning about what do we see? What do you see, and what does it require for us to see? Now, this morning, Mim already read from Deuteronomy 1:21. And just to recap, what a story about seeing. Now, if you heard that word in there, Moses said, see. God has brought you to this land. He's given you this land. Now go in and take it. And don't be afraid. By the way, don't be afraid, because he's going to go with you. He's doing this for you. What was their response? They were afraid. So what did they do? They wanted to see with their own eyes what it was they were getting into first. So they went to Moses, let's go. Let's go see. We have to see what our plan is. Okay, we have to see what we think is the best way to do this. So they went. Oh, I love this. Moses said, it seemed good to me. I was thinking about that. God didn't say to Moses, that's a good plan. It's good for you to send them ahead and so they can see with their own eyes. It doesn't say that Moses inquired of the Lord, is this a good idea or not? It seemed good to me. So I sent them. And we know the story, right? You know the story. So they went, they saw it was a good land indeed, but started to see with eyes of fear. And they came back and they reported, ha! The walls are too high, the people are too powerful, they're too strong, we can't do this. Wow. What happened? What did they see? How were they seeing? They forgot to see with what God said to see. They forgot their single-minded focus on God. There's another place in Psalm 78. We didn't read that passage, but it's kind of recounting the story of the children of Israel. And it goes through all these things that they saw. It said, you know, you saw this. God divided the water. The water stood up in walls and you walked through. He guided you with a cloud and a cloud of fire at nighttime. He delivered you out of there. And then they're in the desert, in their wilderness. And they said, yes, yes, that's right. God provided water for us. We know he provided water from the rock for us. But we're hungry. And I don't think he can do that. That was a paraphrase of what it says. He gave us water. We saw with our eyes the goodness of God. But what happened now? Now we need somewhere. Our backs are against the wall. We're hungry. And, I don't know about this. I don't know if God can actually do this. What happened with their seeing? What happened to their seeing? And so I have been this year, this summer, really challenged with how I'm seeing and with what focus I see. So we come to Jesus' words, and we've in River's Edge in the afternoon been studying the Beatitudes, looking at what Jesus says about how we see things. And I came to the verse, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And I've been just sitting there with that verse for quite a while. And at first, you read that verse, and I don't know about when you read that verse, the first initial response is, well, that lets me out. Because I don't have a pure heart. And it brings us to the recognition that we need someone outside of ourselves to give us a pure heart, because we can't do that on our own. And our recognition that, yes, Jesus, praise God, exchanges our dark hearts for his righteousness at the cross. So that we will forever in his presence see God. Oh, that's an awesome truth. And I hope it never gets old to us, the message of that truth. But as I looked at this verse and did some more study on it, I realized that it's not just about a future seeing God. In fact, when I began to look at what does pure in heart mean, it means not mixed with evil. Yes, that's the thought that we have. And my sister, you know, she's creative, so she made some displays over here with us. And most of these don't look like pure water, so she mixed something else in there. We won't ask her what it is, but she mixed other things. And purity means not mixed with the world, not mixed with evil, with darkness. But it also means undivided. It means a single purpose. A single purpose, not of two minds, a single mind. So that we're not like James says, the waves, like a wave tossing back and forth. Oh, this day I believe, this day, oh yeah, God can do this for me today. Oh, I don't know about giving food though. We're a single-hearted, single-minded people, focused on God, trusting Him entirely, and knowing with whatever we walk in. And then, if you have a single-minded heart, you will see God. And the tense there is not only a future tense either. It's an ongoing, active seeing of God. That's exciting. That's exciting. You will see God as you keep focused on Jesus, because you'll see how He works in unusual ways. This summer, this year, God is giving me plenty of opportunities to see if I believe this message. So this is a message for me as well. About a year ago, we discovered that something was going on with my husband. And at this point, that something appears to be dementia. Now, he is just turning 65 next week. So this brought us to many decisions that we needed to think about. And so this summer, one of the things that we decided to do was to move into, to buy a house together with our daughter and move into in-law quarters so that we're close to her, because she said she wanted to help us. Well, been just praying. This is not an easy journey. These are not easy decisions to think about or to make. Every step of the way, my initial reaction is, no, I don't want to do that. No, I don't want to do that. But then God has to show me what we need to do, what His plan is in this. So we were looking for a house for eight of us to live in, and lots of things that went to it through with that. And in the process, felt like God just kind of miraculously provided a beautiful, a lovely place for us. There were just numbers of steps that were seemed like clear God handprints on finding this place. And so we moved ahead with that. And one of the handprints was that the realtor that we had been dealing with, I should back up, my husband owned Buck Hardware for 40 years, probably 35 years. And before we even knew that he needed to sell it, God provided a seller, a buyer. Just really cool when I am reflecting on that. So anyway, we were working with the realtor, and when we went to buy the house, it didn't really have the financing all figured out yet at the banks. But my realtor said, "Oh, go ahead and make the offer. I'll write the pre-approval letter for you." When does that happen? Okay, all right then. It was just kind of an amazing thing. So that was one of the many of those kind of things that happened. So anyway, we went ahead, had an agreement, put our house on the market, and in 3 days from the time we put it on the market, our house was sold. Confirming again, God is on this journey with you. He's preparing the way. Then about a week later, got a message from the bank that no, indeed, they would not give me a loan for the new house. Oh, that's lovely. Okay, so we have our house sold, We have an agreement and a settlement date on a new house, and they're not going to give me a loan. There were quite a few days that I was wrestling with God on this. Okay. And in that time, I was reading this Psalm 78, and God spoke so clearly to me. I provided the water. Can I also provide the bread? Is this too hard for me? Are you going to trust me now, or are you not going to trust me? Because I had been talking to everybody about how great God was doing this awesome thing for us, and He's caring for us. And now what's happening to my heart when my back's against the wall? What's happening? Will I keep my single-minded focus? So God has been speaking to me quite a bit about that. As it turns out, my daughter can get a mortgage and I can't, which is a pretty funny thing, actually. But God is doing something different than we had figured out initially. So He's working on that. But I just wanted to encourage us today, and it was just a challenge to my heart. Will you be single-minded? Will you trust me totally? And I could have many stories about the beginnings of River's Edge and the ongoing things of River's Edge and some of the high places and some of the challenging places that we found our way in. And at each place, God was saying, will you trust me? Will you trust me? It's not looking like you had planned. Oh, I know that. Yes, completely different than what you had planned. Will you trust me? And so I want to encourage us today. I believe that God shows up and we see Him when we have our focus correct. And sometimes it requires us changing our perspective. Sometimes it requires us looking at that picture in a different way and looking through God's eyes so that we can see Him. In John, Jesus said to Mary and Martha, He said, after Lazarus died, He said, didn't I tell you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? And I think back to that story of the Israelites going in to take the land. What would have happened? What would they have seen of God's amazing glory and deliverance if they had gone? If they had gone, like He said, go. I'm going to take the land for you. But no, they first wanted to see with their own perspective. And then they began to see through the eyes of fear. So when God speaks to us, and when we focus on Him and we hear Him speaking, I actually had my grandson challenging me about trusting God. He's 18, so he's in a time of challenging. But he said, well, there's a fine line between trust and just being stupid or not using common sense. And I said, well, tell me about that. And then he said, well, you know, some of the Muslims, they were in Turkey for a while, won't look when they walk out on the street because they'll say, God's going to take care of me. So how's that different, Grandma? And I had to come back and say, it's about your heart. It's about your heart. Remember the verse says, have a single-minded heart. If you are seeking God, if you're looking at Him, if you're praying for wisdom, if you're asking for God's guidance, He'll show up. And it may not be the way you think, but trust Him because He shows you amazing things. I have determined that on this journey, I'm going to focus on the good gifts of God in each day and try to keep looking for God's hands. And some days, you know, it's harder than others. Last week, one day, I said, I'm going to turn into the Wicked Witch of the West. And my daughter said, or you'll be a very patient woman. And I said, well, hope for the best. Because part of who I am has been an achieving person. So when my husband now is going so slowly and not able to do the things that he always did, sometimes it's pretty much of a trial. But Last week, one day, we had to go to the Social Security office. So I was like, oh, here we go. But I wanted to see if I could get disability for him. And we were just starting this whole Social Security collecting thing and all that. So went there. And as usual, it's sitting full of people, and they have the numbers. Those of you who have been there, numbers up on the wall, and you sit and wait for them to call your number. Some of you are too young to have experienced that yet. But we have a friend from a long time ago at Refton Church that goes that works at the Social Security office. And she's never at the front, though. She's always working in the back. Never works where the people are at the windows. Wouldn't you know, that day, they called her, before our number came up, they called her to come and help at the window, because they were too busy. And guess what? She called our number. And I saw her face, and I was like, wow, what a gift to me today. And she said, actually, I can't open your account, because I know you. And I said, that's okay, just answer my questions. And she was able to tell me what to do. And I walked out of there and I was like, thank you, God. Thank you for showing up in my day. Just amazing that you arranged that so that I could see her smiling face and get her to help me. So I want to say to us this morning, how are our eyes? How are our eyes? What do we see? There's plenty of darkness to see. There's plenty of things of the old lady to see in ourselves and in our world. But Jesus said, it'll be well for you if you have a single heart because you'll see me. You'll see me. So may God give us hearts that see.